Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If any of this triggers you, please contact Lifeline 131114. This podcast is brought to you by Frank Strong's, brewed like beer, tastes like lemonade.
Craft brewed alcoholic lemonade. Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Hello, hello, hello.
Happy Mardi Gras, everybody. Oh, wow. 40 years. We are recording this just before we are heading into Mardi Gras weekend. But by the time you guys hear this, we will be exhausted.
How freaking amazing. The 40th year anniversary of Mardi Gras. I mean, it was only about, well, this time last year, right, where we spoke to the first people that ever marched in Mardi Gras, and majority of them were locked behind bars.
That's right. It is going to be a very moving moment. If you do want to catch up on what we got up to, we're going to cover the parade. So if you want to catch up on all of the coverage we have of Mardi Gras, make sure you head to our socials. And we have a very big week of International Women's Day focused talk topics and content for you this week.
That's coming up a little later in the week. So to celebrate, we've got a V special guest, Somalay Mam, who's going to be joining us. She is an anti-trafficking advocate, an absolute boss, on the ground doing really practical stuff to help women right across the world.
Well, trying to stop women's slavery. Yeah. And we also will be covering some of our favourite moments across the week from incredible, inspiring women, and just making sure that we have a one-stop shop for us to put all of the quotes and moments that allowed us to go, yes, queen!
I am proud to be a woman.
Yeah, today though we'll do our normal catch up, but they are going to be focused a little bit on International Women's Week or International Women's Day. And today I want to talk about a terminology that I didn't really understand the meaning of until a couple of weeks ago, and that is gaslighting.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
You don't know what it is?
I'll ask you later. Okay. I was going to say, my brain's going, like, dating term? Blah, blah, blah. Why don't I know about this? I be on board?
Well, it's not breadcrumbing.
Oh, no, that's a different one, isn't it? And I've heard of that too. Yeah. Can I do that?
You probably do that.
I probably am currently breadcrumbing.
Breadcrumbing people. I mean, I don't know that for sure.
Oh, it's probably true.
You only tell me bits and pieces.
I know. I breadcrumb you on my dating stories.
You do. You do. Why?
I've been gagging to tell you about a date all day, and then we've just been too busy.
Oh, yeah. A lot has been going on.
Oh, Christ. Okay. Speaking of International Women's Day coming up later in the week, I want to actually talk about how having sex recently, and there was a thought process about whether to fake an orgasm or not, and I've realized the reason why that was a thought process is actually pretty dark.
Okay. Okay, we'll get to that very soon. But let me give you the meaning that I have researched, the kind of technical meaning of gaslighting. For those of you listening, and for you, Merce, that may not be familiar with the meaning of the word, right? Mm-hmm. Gaslighting, according to Psychology Today, is which is a website, you guys can check it out. It is a tactic in which a person, or in some cases an entity, in order to gain more power, makes a victim question their reality.
Ah.
So anyone is really susceptible to it. But what I have realized is I think a lot of women are the victims of gaslighting. I do believe because in particularly in the workplace, there aren't as many women in power or in leadership positions. And certainly the story that I'm going to share was, you know, the bosses that were gaslighting me, which I discovered only a few weeks ago, were men, that it is one of those things where I think we are very easily set into that kind of manipulation because I think we, as a stereotype, question ourselves or overthinkers.
We do.
Yeah.
And remember when I wrote that article for Cosmo not too long ago about the gender pay gap, and when I was doing a lot of research for that, I always thought that that was just a generalization or a stereotype where women self-doubted more, suffered from imposter syndrome a lot more, where you start a new job and you doubt all of your abilities and you feel like an imposter, like you shouldn't be there. Like this job has been handed to you on a platter and you don't deserve it.
And I think that those kinds of traits are then played on even more by people that gaslight.
Totally. But what I was going to say is in that research, it's scientific that the way that women and men think about the world and about themselves is really very different.
Which means that gaslighting as a form of abuse, and it is an abuse of power, and it is a form of manipulation and abuse, is much easier for women to be the victims of.
Yeah,
because
totally.
We are conditioned, or we're not even conditioned. Maybe it is conditioning, maybe it's the way where our brains are set up. It could be a bit of both. According to your research, it's probably more brains, right? But it just makes us such easier targets for something like that. But I was talking to a friend of mine, Tracy Spicer, who's doing some incredible work.
Oh, she's freaking amazing.
For women in the media in particular. And
we should put her podcast in the show notes.
Which podcast?
We did a podcast with Tracy Spicer back in the day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There is an oldie that you can listen to. The information and the conversations you have with a woman like that never gets old. But she's become a good mate of mine, and we were just having a catch-up conversation. I was telling her a story about where I was working in a workplace, and a guy, a boss of mine at the time, would make me feel that other girls that we worked with in the office in different departments had a problem with me. So an example would be that we would have meetings and we would be trying to get something off the ground, or I would be trying to get something, or we as a team. And he played it out like they had an issue with the way that I was running meetings. But then I would go back into these meetings and they would be so fine. And I was so confused. Like, and you know, and this is exactly, she goes, and I was telling her different examples of this. And she goes, well, that's gaslighting, babe. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, the idea of gaslighting is that someone's putting in your head that there's a problem that isn't there to control you or have power over you, so you question yourself.
Because then
so
after...
You rank... And because I'm such a forthright, quite a strong character, particularly in this job I was, it would have been in his better interest to make me quite insecure or make me question myself.
So talk to me about the result of the gaslighting thing after you have, you know, in hindsight, realized that you were manipulated.
Well, I didn't at the time.
No, but...
Because at the time I was like, oh...
But did it change your behavior
100%,
at the time?
100%.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. So it was
gaslighting. And I remember when I went out and we had an event and I went out with this particular girl that I had thought I'd narrowed it down to, because that's how much I thought about it after he said that you...
Who the person was that you had a problem with?
Well,
like who had a problem,
there were
or
several
whatever.
Girls in this meeting, but I had gone and thought so much about it. Like, well, are we? I text this other girl and I get along quite well, so it must be this one girl. Like, so I was creating stories from him giving me this paranoia in my head, because you give a shit what people think about you, and you don't want people to not like you.
Well, especially in a professional sense too. Like you don't, like they're people that you're seeing on a regular basis that you want to work with as a team to get stuff off the ground.
Exactly. And I thought I had it sorted, you know, where I was like, okay, so it's this girl in particular, and I changed my tone and moved around a few things and whatever, and nothing really seemed to change. And then we went out for an event one time and she was just lovely and fun and playful and loving, and it was just so nice to see her out of the workplace. And I was in the back of my mind, I was still going, God, that's so bizarre. Like I wonder if things have gotten better. But now I look back and think, was there even an effing problem to begin with? Like, it's terrifying.
It makes me feel... Makes me feel like physically uncomfortable.
On this website as well.
To hear about it.
Yeah, because I think about all of the times that particular boss, the one that I'm thinking of the most, would make me think that there were problems when maybe there weren't. And it was the problems that he always brought up were not necessarily about my skill set for my job.
No.
It was always a personality thing. So he would make me believe, and it was always the same kind of feeling. So he must have been able to figure out what my button was, and that was, you know, being liked. Or, and I think at times I had even communicated that, you know, making friends or getting along with people at work was a priority. So
that's
almost like they know what your wants are, and then they prey on you.
I think I'm just thinking of so many instances now in my life and people that I know around me, I don't think there would have been, I don't think there'd be many chicks in my life that haven't experienced this, because I think there's this thing where girls are like, am I crazy? Am I, and I've experienced this in my last relationship, where you almost feel like you're making shit up.
Well, it says, this website says it's a common technique of abusers, dictators, narcissists, and sometimes cult leaders. And there was even a movie made in the 40s, which was all about a man manipulating his wife to the point where she thinks she's losing her mind. So it is 100%. That kind of mental abuse. And again, we have put a warning at the beginning of this show, but if anything is triggering you, please make sure that you contact Lifeline or speak to a professional. We'll put the details in the show notes.
So I'm thinking of, you know, when you're talking about gaslighting, I'm thinking about that real manipulation where it's like planting seeds in people's heads to think that they are, you know, maybe contributing or maybe making things up or whatever. But then I'm also thinking about that one step further where it's almost like the person that's gaslighting the victim. It's almost like, and I don't know if you've experienced this with this relationship with the boss or someone else, but it's like when that person then turns around and is nice to you, you're like almost desperate.
And grateful.
Desperate and grateful for any kind of positive reinforcement, for any attention. So then it almost makes you go, well, it must be me. Look at the way he's treating me now. He's being so lovely and kind and gentle. I'm a fucking asshole for ever thinking that he could be that savage or that cruel or that mean. And then you are then in turn that mean to yourself for having ever considered that they could be anything but who they're now pretending to be.
It's a real scary web. It's terrifying and it's a real, real thing. Some of the character traits, I should say, of people that gaslight are that they tell blatant lies. So just complete liar. Like, we'll make things up to gain the story they need to support whatever web they're trying to create. Another point was they deny they ever said something even when you've got proof.
Oh, yeah. I know that. That's a shocking feeling.
They use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. So like what I was
Same
saying
with you,
before.
When you're vulnerable.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when I was saying before that I had mentioned to this boss that I wanted people to, I didn't say it in those words, but, you know, I wanted to make friends around me at work. And I was like, now I'm thinking back and going, of course, this was that. Of course, this was gaslighting, because the thing he used against me was to me to question whether people liked me. You know, it seems so simple now. Another character trait was that they wear you down over time. Their actions do not match their words. They throw in positive reinforcement to confuse you. So exactly as you were saying, they know confusion weakens people. So if they don't give facts, and, you know, it isn't straight down the line, that is in their power. And they project. So say that they're a cheater, for example. It's so often done where in order for them to distract from themselves, or it's somehow they will make something up for you to end up defending yourself.
Yeah. I've experienced that.
And they also try to align people against you in some instances. They tell you or others that you are crazy. So you've lost your mind?
Oh, I feel a bit sick thinking about some people very close to me in my life that is regular dialogue.
But I can't believe we didn't even know what this term meant. That's the terrifying part. They tell you everyone else in the world is a liar. So then you're trusting them.
Yeah, shit.
It's full on.
That's really gross.
I just think this information, as we go into this week as well, and we talk about some really positive things that are happening, it is really important to educate ourselves in also behaviours that I suppose I wasn't familiar with having definition around it, you know. There's often a lot of abuse talk with physical and sexual, but we know that financial abuse, and we know that mental abuse, as you know, as a lot of people will often say, can be just, if not more, damaging because it sticks with you. And again, like we were saying, you feel like you're crazy. And I now, looking back at working with that boss, feel like I'm still recovering from treatment of that. And it's made me really sit back. And I try not to do it because it terrifies me how much it could have happened if in my life if I really sit back and think about all the times.
Mm.
But I do think that if you're feeling like this might be happening to you or you totally think there's someone in your life, that just the knowledge that this is a thing is it's got to be helpful.
Oh,
I wish I had have known when I was doubting myself in this moment.
Do you reckon it would
or
have,
in that moment?
Do you reckon
in the past?
It would have clicked in the past if someone said it to you then?
Yeah, because I would have listened to my gut. Yeah. Like when I went out that to that event that time, I was like, this girl doesn't seem to have a problem with me. Mm. Like something's not right here. But that person was in a position of power, and I trusted him. It's messed up.
Yeah, it is messed up. But like you said, knowledge is power. So to be aware of this and even know it, and there might be, you might be listening to this going, there's somebody in my life that I love that's doing this to me right now.
Yeah. So like we said, we'll put the details up of the right people for you to contact in our show notes. But for now, here's a message from our sponsors. Ugh, we live for weekends, especially Saturdays. Sleeping in, staying up late.
Daydreaming, adventure seeking. That's right. All play and no work.
But we believe your skin should feel as good as you do when you wake up refreshed. Happy, healthy, and bright.
Yeah, developed to reveal your clearest, dewiest complexion Saturday skin. It's basically a weekend in a bottle.
Make every day your Saturday with Saturday Skin. It's available at Myer or you can buy it at www.saturdayskin.net.
Plus, you can use the promo code TG in capitals for your 10% discount.
Okay,
we're back.
This week we are celebrating women and empowering, even though, you know, you guys, if you listen to the show, I'm not a massive fan of that word. I think it was completely thrown around, but
it's used a lot
in the way that we are looking at the world this week. I think empowering women is the right word.
Totally. We've got some really cool stuff coming up on the Thinker Girls pod channel this week to celebrate IWD, as the cool people call it.
But you want to talk about a position of power in the bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Would you call it a position of power? Yeah, to some degree.
Yeah, it totally is a position of power. So I don't know. Women faking orgasms in the bedroom, like that is not a new concept.
No.
You know, like that's something that we all joke about, make light of, think of the scene when Harry met Sally, like, I'll have what she's having.
But
like,
I've never seen that movie.
Really? Really?
But doesn't she
actually
orgasm?
You've seen that scene, though.
Oh,
no, so she's sitting at the table at a restaurant. So that's, what's her name? Meg, I've forgotten it. With Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's sitting there.
Meg Ryan.
And they're having this conversation about whether women can fake orgasms or not. And she goes, let me show you. So she's sitting at the table and she goes, and does this whole thing. And he's like, oh my, because it's so
realistic. I mean,
realistic.
I'm very familiar with the scene. I just haven't seen the entire
Yeah, but movie. For people that haven't.
Oh, well.
And then.
If you're listening and you haven't seen that scene, isn't it crazy that that scene's so infamous? I think just because there's a woman doing an orgasm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, but that was back in the day. That was 80s. She had like a full on, like, kind of
Farrah
long
Fawcett
perm
thing going on.
Thing
it was like almost
on.
Leftovers from the 70s, that do. Yeah, right.
So that's what I mean. Like, when you hear of that kind of topic, I don't know. I'm not thinking about it on the deep emotional level that I am now, that I've had this recent realization about what that actually means and what it represents.
What faking an orgasm?
Yeah, as a woman, because I recently almost did it. So I was having sex with a guy. Oh no, he was going down on me actually, and he'd been down there for a long time. And I think
it happened.
Yeah, and I think that you know, like I'm not unique in that case. Like, it's so commonplace for women to have to get out of their heads when they're having sex, but in particular, I think when somebody's down there, because
sidebar as well. I've just every time I think maybe stop or it's not going to happen for me tonight, I push through and it works.
Oh, really?
Just in case anyone.
Do you know what
interested.
I started saying? Remember, we had Tara O on the podcast, and she's a sexologist, amazing. We can put the link in the show notes. But pardon me. Sometimes I repeat the mantra that she said: "I deserve pleasure.
Yeah, I deserve pleasure."
And sometimes I do that, and it works. Mm. But sometimes I feel myself this crazy internal dialogue that is so consistent that I'm like, it actually sounds like I'm narrating a movie. Like my inner voice is not even taking a breath here. It's like, God, how long has he been down there for now? Oh my God, I should move my leg. Does that look a bit? Oh, how long are you taking, Christy? You need to get out of your head. Remember Tara Oh said that thing. What was it again? You deserve pleasure. Okay, say it again. You deserve pleasure. I deserve pleasure. You deserve pleasure. Is that a bit weird? Is it weird that I deserve pleasure? Do I really deserve this much pleasure? This feels really good. Actually, why am I talking to myself? Shut up. Just focus on what is going. Focus on the feeling. I deserve pleasure. I deserve, like, and this goes on and on. And then I wonder why I can't come.
Well, like, it's all chicks. It's like everybody. But I think it's all laughable. Chicks every day. It's like, yes. I think it's heightened more when you're having sex because, you know, it's just two people.
I think it's more heightened when someone's going down on you, though.
Yeah, and then on top of that it is. But overall, I think we're constantly thinking like this. We just put up with it in our lives. Do you know what I mean?
Or we don't know that everybody else is doing it. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, I read that book, The Untethered Soul, which I still haven't even finished the last chapter.
Oh, my God. I've read it twice.
I know you have.
And now it sits by my toilet.
Yeah, I've seen it. I just did a wee before.
Yeah, and they can just pick it up. And I have a read because I think it's that. It's like my Bible. If I owned a hotel, every single hotel drawer would have The Untethered Soul in it.
Michael A. Singer is the guy that wrote it.
Yeah, we'll put it in show notes also. We're going to stop saying that soon because it will just all be in there, you know?
Yeah, but just for people, you know, there might still – someone asked the other day even though it was in show notes.
Oh, okay.
So we'll point you in the right direction.
Okay.
But anyway, so that's quite standard for me, that kind of dialogue. It's getting better. It's getting a lot better. Especially since being single, which is random.
And I must say, sorry to interrupt again, but I think also guys do go through this too.
Oh, yeah.
My boyfriend does. I know when he's in his head and not in his body. Fiance, whatever.
Yeah, fuck. You still,
I know.
Fiance's still your boyfriend though.
Yeah, I know.
Like, but you've got to get married.
I've got to move it up.
Yeah,
you know?
Enough.
He's asked the question. I said yes. Like, give him the title he deserves.
Fiance.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was going on for a while. And the guy that was going down on me at the time, which I love, made me feel very comfortable. And every time I was like, oh, I don't think I can. And the moment you say it out loud, it's kind of like...
Oh, it's like
you are creating your own reality. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If you had a dick, it would go flaccid.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So I'm basically there with a floppy dick.
If you were semi, it's over. What my boy?
Semi or semi? Semi?
Semi.
I say semi.
But I think semi hard on is funny. Is that funny? I think it's
funnier. I always say semi.
But what about how Ben calls a semi or semi? Yeah.
Does he call it a semi?
A half mongrel.
Sorry. I know that's going to blow out the microphone, but shit.
Isn't that disgusting?
That is one of the rankest things.
I know.
That is on par with people saying mint. You know when people are like, that's mint. And I was like, it's...
I think it's worse. Anyway, because I hate it, he says it. As a joke,
mongrel.
He's like, oh, that'd give you a half mongrel, wouldn't it? I was like, stop talking. Stop.
Yeah. It's gone from a half mongrel to a foot. Like, there's zero mongrel. You know what I mean? Like, if that's not going to get, like, dry your vagina up stat, I don't
know
what is.
But you're saying, I can't get there.
Yeah. Anyway, so this went neck level last time. Because the guy that was going down to me was very, the minute I would say out loud, oh, I can't, oh, like, would make a noise like that. He would be like, I try to pull away and he would almost like be, he would kind of be forcing my legs to stay where they were. And he'd be like, you're not going till you come. And I was like, which I really liked because I was like, because it's like this, it's so self-doubt thing where you're like, are they bored down there? Are they thinking this is taking ages? So confirmation that they're not, they're very happy to be down there.
But think about it. When you're going down on a guy, you're really wanting them to come. Although I very, very much think we need to get rid of the whole good sex is only someone orgasms, but we're still very much conditioned like that.
So that had gone on for a little bit. And then, you know, after a while, I was like, far out. This guy has been down there for at least, it's probably pushing half an hour. And I'm like starting to get a bit sore and I'm thinking, I don't think it's going to happen.
Did you have moments of peak?
Yeah,
though?
Almost.
Yeah.
That you get to like a 9.
Yeah.
And I think when you've had a few of those, it makes you more intent on getting there. But then, I don't know.
Because you think it's close.
Yeah. And I kept saying that, I'm close. Oh, and then we'd lose it. And that happened a few times. I was like, oh, false start. This is so annoying. So then actually I had this thought process and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to fake it. I am going to fake an orgasm. He won't know the difference. And then I literally, because it felt like it was peaking, and I got to about a 6, 7, 8, but I knew in my body that I knew I wasn't going to get to the 10. I knew I wasn't going to climax. So it wasn't like I was going, oh, that feels good. Oh my God, I'm coming. Where I was like, I'm going to utilize this peak that's not quite the peak and just pretend that I'm one more up on the OGAS scale than I actually am.
Because you know.
Right? I almost did that. And then I started laughing because I was like, that is messed up that you've just thought that. And he was like, what? And I was really honest with him. I just started laughing. I said, I was actually just about to fake an orgasm. And he was like, what? I would have known. And I was like,
they always say that.
He goes, I would have known. I said, how? And he goes, nah, I have my ways. And I was like, nah, I want you to tell me. He said, because I know the way it feels in there. You go really dry and then it goes really wet. Like he was explaining, yeah, I won't go into all detail, but the way he was explaining the texture of your skin, like the...
And Ben has said to me that you open up, like there's an opening or something.
So he was like, I would know. And he goes, why were you going to do that anyway? You're a dickhead. You know, we were just having a laugh about it because I do feel very comfortable with him. And I was like, genuinely? And then I started to feel a bit sad when I said it. And I feel a bit sad saying it now where I was like, I felt almost like I owed that to you because I thought, oh, this man's fought so valiantly and I feel bad for him. I feel sorry that he is not validated as a pleasure-giving man that I will then negate myself and rob myself of pleasure because the minute that you fake it, you're not actually ever getting there after that.
Stopping,
So I will negate my own pleasure and I will pretend that I've experienced pleasure so that he can feel pleasure then.
It's such an intense and when thing. But I'm laughing because we're sitting so close to each other. So I just am watching your face, but I just realized I could basically lick you. That's how close we're sitting together today. Anyway.
But when you about the depth and the darkness behind something that we all have a bit of a lull about and we're all like, oh, I've done it. I've faked an orgasm or I reckon I can tell or get all this. And I'm like, that is messed up.
It's you choosing him over
you. Yeah, and I felt really sad because I feel like I've done a lot of work and continuing to. Even coming out of a big almost nine-year relationship now to having sex casually, it's a whole new ball game. Getting to know my body, feeling confident and comfortable and all this stuff. And I felt sad because I was like, and I know you've said this, White Oprah, because you've said before, you never go back to square one. You never go back to where you started from. And I had this moment where
for those listening, just to explain what my point was from other things, was that if you go... You know, sometimes you feel like you've learnt lessons and then if you feel like you haven't kind of learnt from something, often I think we, and that's including me, because the reason I've learnt this is from my own experiences, is you feel like you are going to go back to where you started.
And that's why I think I felt extra sad because I was like, shit, Christy, you've done all this work. Look how far you've come and you're still doing this. So it was a bit, I think... And I can jump in that self-loathing pool pretty freaking quickly too. And not just sex stuff, but everything. Where I started to feel like, oh, we're back here, are we? Like I thought we were past this bullshit because I realized the real reason why I was going to do it. And you're right. It is exactly that.
You need to read Melissa's book. Have you read Mastering Your Inner Mean Girl?
No.
Yeah. People say it's life-changing. I haven't read all of it, but... It sounds like that's exactly...
It's flaring up a lot lately.
Yeah, I think it has been. That's why I suggested it. Yeah. You know, there's two things here. The first one is obviously the conversation around how so many of us feel like we need to fake that experience because some of it's not so much that it goes to a self-worth, but it's also convenience. And I think it might not be necessarily always about making sure he feels great, but it's also about you not bothering to invest in your own pleasure because it's a bit of both. Like some of it is a bit of kind of going, well, I want him to be happy. And then some of it is also you sticking around and getting pleasure for yourself. You know what I mean? So there's can be two factors from it.
Yeah.
The other one, the other point here is that the self-loathing when you don't always, I don't know, you don't always clock life.
Mm.
Like who clocks life every time, every day with every...
Nobody.
Exactly.
Stupid.
But it is an interesting conversation.
Women plus pleasure. It's like, oh, it's a bit giggly.
Naughty.
Yeah, it's a bit naughty. It's a bit raunchy. Oh, let's all, you know, have a lull under our breath. I'll have what she's having. And it's like the thing that you were talking about on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about cool parents. You were talking about the JT thing where you're like, let's stop using the word mum like a daggy thing. Like, oh, that is such a mum bag. Like, and I've been thinking about and drawing a comparison to this where I'm like, it's obviously going somewhere. You know what I mean? Like if we're laughing it off, but then there is this kind of deep undertone of it actually meaning something, like on the surface it can look like a whatever, a lol, it's a daggy mum thing, and you throw away these comments like they're nothing. But then, I don't know, there is this kind of underbelly of it meaning something more, that the more we laugh at it and don't be serious about it, the further we're getting away from it. 100%. Does that make sense?
And I've always been that girl that everyone's like, oh, you don't have to go there. Well, you fucking do, actually, because that's how things are fixed. But the other thing that comes from this conversation is that we women have, and we all have an issue with time. We all have an issue with needing everything quickly. And I don't know where that stems from in terms of a gender thing, but men can climax and have pleasure quickly. Mm-hmm. Women cannot. So we all, as a society, men and women, often look at women as harder work.
Mm.
But we were built that way.
Isn't it twice the amount of time?
Oh, I don't know what the actual stat is, but it would easily be that in my relationship.
Mm, me too.
And I am just so over apologizing for needing foreplay.
Mm.
Like it's like, yeah, but it still even comes up in my own relationship where I like to have sex fairly often because I have found with my partner that is a really great source of us coming home together. So it's a real connection point. But I also am trying to find the balance of how often we do it and do it to kind of be quicker because it might be late at night or it might be at this time might be not as convenient to do an hour sex session. So finding the balance of being able to do it properly in the time that I need to really give myself the pleasure I deserve versus making sure that we are having sex as regularly as I would like to because I like that connection.
Mm.
And the way that I've landed on this is that I think both are important. So
the quantity and the quality.
Well, I think we have to take off that sex is only about a climax from that perspective and that you can get other things from it. So especially in relationships, I'm talking specifically, because relationships, you are living and breathing each other. For us, we're living together, we're getting married, and there's a lot of menial shit that goes on already, you know, especially if you've got kids even, that sometimes you climaxing shouldn't always be the agenda and that maybe you just want to feel someone inside you and connect to them on a level. But on the flip side of that, you also really need to be wet and turned off to get there. So it's a real juggling act.
Oh, this has been good, hasn't it? Yeah, it's really good. Look, it is... It's a very, very important week. And as you said, Stace, like the term empowerment is thrown around a lot, but it actually does mean something.
Mm.
Yeah. And it does, I don't know, it does really feel pretty soul nourishing to know that we've got this space to be able to have really different kinds of conversations about women, because it's not just like, oh, let's just fist pump and be like, yeah, girl, and play a Beyonce song. You know, there's different colors and shades of what it is to be a woman. And not all of it's very pretty.
And I think this week for us, it's about education and talking about things as we usually do, but also making sure that things, you know, things that need definition are clear, concise, and informative, because that is how we feel educated in ourselves to make the right decisions moving forward for us, you know. If any of this conversation, particularly earlier on the show, did trigger something, we mentioned Lifeline, but I did want to say that the number is 131114. But we would love to have you join us across this week with all the different shows that we'll be dropping. If you are loving what you hear, please feel free, and we would love it for you to drop us a rating or review to let everybody else know that you're a fan, Stan.
Yeah, it really helps. Subscribe. All the apps will pop up in your phone, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, or you can stream at thethinkergirls.com.au.
And we'll hang on our socials all week to have more of these conversations. See you for now.
Bye.
Bye. Regulars on Sunrise.
Yeah, girl, it's the best. And we bring you guys along with us, our posse, every single week just by joining our Insta story.
Yes, from the taxi ride there to the makeup chair and selfies with other amazing, talented Sunrise guests, we share it all.
Yeah, make sure you head to the Thinker Girls on Insta and check out the updates every single Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll catch you there.
This podcast is brought to you by Frank Strong's. Brewed like beer, tastes like lemonade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.